It's the Boom Bap Hour, and I'm your host, Miss Ruby V, and I am here with a very special guest. Hanging out with us today is Mike King. What's going on?
Chilling, Ruby. It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yes, of course, definitely. So, you know, we just want to talk about everything that, you know, you have going on right now. It seems like you got some new music out, and we just want to know all about that. But first of all, you know, definitely just want to introduce you to our audience. So tell us all about you, where you're from, and what do you have going on right now that we need to know about?
Sure. My name is Mike King. I'm originally from Philadelphia, North Philadelphia, to be exact. I live in Brooklyn now. You know, I used to do this for a living, the whole, you know, rap music thing as an indie rapper for about 8 years. And then I got into a bike accident, ended up in marketing. Now I own my own marketing agency. And so this is the first record I'm releasing in 12 years, like reintroducing myself to hip hop as it stands. And yeah, the new record is called Iconic.
And I was checking you out too, like just as far as like, you know, you and battle rapping and you're dope. You really are. Yes.
Thank you.
So how does it feel to be back in the arena?
It feels great. It's a lot of fun. You know, it's actually, I like to say I used to play JV before. Now it's like I own a league or a team or something, right? Because you know, it's just a very different experience where it's like I have a vision and we can execute it because I have the right network of people, I have the right resources to make it happen. So it's just a lot more fun. It's not like, you know, where's my next rent check gonna come from like shows I'm trying to do. It's like, no, how can I make art the way I see it in my head? So it's a lot of fun. I'm able to connect with and collaborate with people I wouldn't have been able to do before. Like we've got Music Soul Child on the record. I've got Little Fame from MOP on the record. So yeah, it's just a whole lot of fun right now.
Okay, so you're making me want to like listen to this like right now because you just get one of my favorite people, seriously, okay? Yes, and you've also shared the stage with, you know, some really heavy hitters like J. Cole, Rakim, Wu-Tang, Nas. I mean, like you really have a great history as far as like, you know, who you shared stage with already.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I said, I did this for a living. I was touring all over the place, a lot in the States, a lot in Europe. I played in like Australia a couple of times. I played in Africa once. So, you know, there is a history here that after 12 years, I'm sure people have forgotten. And it's just a fun experience trying to get into it like now because things are just so different. But at the same time, there's like this big convergence that's happening between media, music, tech, marketing, and like tech and marketing is what I do all day. So why don't I just apply that to the whole music thing? So again, very exciting and, you know, just trying to make a mark.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And so basically, and then also I was seeing like some of the things that, that you would do when you were battle rap, like say that you had you were blindfold and then yeah. like talk about
I think I only did that in a battle once. There's a battle called End of the Week, like the MC challenge, and okay. Part of the MC challenge is like, okay, you got to rap about objects that are in a box or whatever, and this is a freestyle thing that I would do as a part of my show. So I would blindfold myself, people would hand up objects to the stage, and then I like freestyle and guess what those objects are. And, you know, it's a very exciting part of the show because I don't know what people are going to give me. And not only do I have to identify them, I also have to say something clever about them. And all that has to happen really fast. You've got like a key sense that you use for that you no longer can use. So yeah, it was one of the things that really helped me stand out, especially when I'd be opening for rappers that, you know, people have been diehard fans of for years. And it's like, all right, who's this opener? No one cares. But once I do that freestyle, like, you know, the whole crowd is like, oh, wow, like, who is this guy? And I would always strategically place it in my show. It'd be like the maybe the third song or the third slot in the set. And then, you know, people might have gotten into the show. They don't know who I am. But then everybody is like, oh, let's see what else you got. And so it was kind of like a way to get people to pay attention. And it really helped me with building my fan base.
Yeah, that's really cool. It almost reminds me of, you know, because like you said, nobody knew who you were and you kind of had to show up and show and prove. Like I was watching the Kevin Garnett documentary where he was like, you know, everybody was doubting him, you know, because he was coming up. They was like, why are we here? Oh, I'm gonna show you why you're here.
Exactly. And the live show, like it's anything can happen in the live show, you know, like with the records that are on streaming platforms or whatever, like you might listen for 8 seconds and move on because it doesn't grab you immediately. But in the live show, that's the opportunity to like really show your personality, you know, showcase what makes you different. What is it that you do that no one else can do? And so that was like my magic trick that would, you know, bring people to the front stage.
Most definitely. Okay. Well, I mean, we just so excited that, you know, you back in the arena. I know I definitely, you know, am looking forward to everything that, you know, you're going to bring, because looks like you definitely was bringing it back then. And, and you know, being in that, in hip hop back then, and what do you think the biggest difference is between how it was then and how it is now? I mean, I don't know if you know, where you was at, it would be old enough to call it old school, but some of these new generation probably would call
I mean, they probably call what I do now old school, and that's fine. Like, I kind of think that we're at a point where hip hop is old enough that there's like a adult contemporary rap, right? Like, it's very similar to what we used to listen to, and there's a market for it because there's enough like 40 plus year old people that love hip hop who will buy every Ghostface record, even if he doesn't change his style. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think that is a subgenre that we need to revere at this point. But yeah, I would say a main difference is that when I was coming up in underground rap, people didn't respect you if you did things on the internet. Like, if you weren't being covered in magazines, if you didn't have vinyl out, they were like, oh, you're an internet rapper. And now it's like those same people are posting their Spotify numbers. And I'm like, huh, who's the internet rapper now? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's just the medium has changed dramatically. And, you know, I was one of those people that was an early adopter of the internet. Like I said, I've been on the internet in a variety of ways. Like, that's why I own a marketing agency, because of that skill set that I've built. But I've been on the internet since like 92. So, you know, when I started putting out records, I was
92?
Like,
I don't know anybody who was on the internet in 92. I wasn't. I mean,
well, the internet was pretty basic back then. It was things like Prodigy and AOL, but you know what I mean? Like, I was on back then. And so, you know, like, I was like, cool, well, we've got the internet. I'm going to put my records out this way. Like, I can't afford media coverage and things like that. And so it was kind of like this gatekeeper thing where, you know, if you didn't have vinyl in stores, if you weren't getting covered by like Elemental magazine, or if you weren't in some random blurb in the Source, or, you know, if you didn't have ads in these magazines, like, you weren't a real rapper. If like you didn't make beats on an MPC and you use Fruity Loops, like, you can't be a real producer. So that was a lot of what I had to deal with at that time. And, you know, as I stopped making music, that's when streaming became more prevalent and so on. But the music industry hadn't really figured it out yet. It was like, yeah, if you've got the streaming thing happening over here, we're still trying to make physical releases happen somehow. And they were holding on to that and not really having the foothold in how to work internet media. And obviously, like, the game has changed dramatically. Everything is digital first now.
So what do you think that, I mean, because, you know, would it be in a new digital age, and then you have like what I guess they call the analog age? What do you think that they can learn from each other? Like, both, you know what I'm saying? Like, generations, what like values you think the old school could bring to the new school and the new school could bring to the old school? Like, what do you think they could come together? It seems like sometimes there's a lack of respect there, you know?
I agree. Yeah, I think that one of the things that the new school can learn from the old school is like really taking your time with what you're hearing. Right? Like, remember how, I don't know how old you are, but, you know, back then.
I'm in the 40s club.
Okay, there you go. So you remember how, like, you would get a tape And like, no matter what, that was your new tape. You had to listen to that until you got the next tape. And right. So because of that, there were records that you may not have loved at first, but because you had to give it the chance, it grew on you and you like identified it as a classic record. Like for me, I didn't love Stakes Is High by De La Soul when I first got it. But when I kept listening to it, I was like, oh, this is really dope. Like this is a classic record, right? And so I feel like we're missing out on modern classics because of that, because you know, you have access to everything. 60,000 records come out online every day and there's albums dropping every Friday. You really don't get the opportunity to digest music and, you know, determine like, will this grow with me, right? So you're not really giving music that chance. So I think the newer generations can learn from that, be like, yo, maybe you don't have to like listen to everything. Why don't you just spend some time with these three records and see if you like them truly or not? And then what the older generations can learn from
the old folks, right?
can learn from the newer generations is that they don't hold the music so precious. And what I mean by that is they're just like continually putting things out, right? And you know, for some people, maybe they shouldn't, but there's this opposite extreme where there's rappers who are like, I'm only dropping albums every 5 years or whatever, and people want more output from me. You know what I mean? Like not being so perfectionist about it, like put out more things, because there's a lot of those rappers that are just sitting on records and they're just like, I don't know, but people want that from me. So just giving more, I hate to say the word content when we're talking about art, but putting more stuff out there is something that I think the older generations can learn from.
Most definitely. I totally agree with you, definitely. Especially about, you know, spending time with the record and things like that, because everything is so singles driven now, you know, mm-hmm. Nobody is thinking about trying to listen to really an album. Everything is listening to the hottest single that's out right now, you know? Mm-hmm. So there's definitely some great points. And what point did you feel like you fell in love with hip hop? What was the one thing that you heard that was just like, I just know this is what I'm...
I mean, I think just from what I, like my oldest memory of hip hop from when I was young, I was at my aunt's house in North Philly. And, you know, this is when vinyl was still like, I mean, vinyl's huge now, but like it was like the primary way that everyone consumed music. And she had just gotten a copy of Criminal Minded by Boogie Down Production. And she put it on and I was just like, yo, like this is incredible. Cause you know, my aunt was like, she's like my party aunt. Like she was out in the club still and all that. Whereas my mom, you know, she was like a nurse. And so she was working like 11 to 7 shifts and she wasn't buying music like that. And so, you know, I would hear hip hop in the streets, but I didn't really have a personal experience with it until that specific moment. And I was just like this record is crazy. And it wasn't really until I heard the Takao album by Method Man in like 95 or 94, whenever it came out. And I was like, oh, I think I can do this too. You know what I mean? Like I couldn't, but I figured it out. I was like, I want to do what he's doing. And you know, to this day, in my head, my voice sounds like Method Man's, even though it doesn't in real life at all.
Oh man. Well, I mean, you always have those precious memories of, you know, just seemed like what sparked the passion, you know. Yeah. So that's really dope. Well, listen, we're definitely going to be looking out for everything that you're doing. So, you know, before we wrap it up, let us know everywhere that we can find, you know, your new Iconic EP, social media, website, where's everything that we'll be able to find that?
Yeah, the easiest place to find everything is bestrapperever.com. That's my website.
Hey, and... that's right.
And I'm on social media at iPoolRank. So, you know, I'm like combining my business and music stuff now so I can just have the biggest audience possible. So yeah, that's where you find me.
Love it, most definitely. Well, y'all, we're definitely gonna be playing some music from the Iconic EP, and you heard it here first. You heard it right here on the Boom Bap Hour. keep it locked. And thank you so much for joining us today. Okay.
Thanks for having me.
All right. It's Mike King on the Boom Bap Hour. Keep it locked. Don't go anywhere.